That was an excerpt from The Horse Soldiers. Now that in our series is a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those with patience and understanding, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Corelli Wintersport, Charlie Carbon with his impressions, the swing section of the Dagenham Girl Pipers, rear view, that is, Hardy Come Charlton, Miss Ada Affirmative.
She's just a girl who can't say no.
To continue, Blanche Cart, Edmundo Sylvester, and of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Beyond Our Ken, a show that has a tremendous educational value. Since it's been on, more and more people are reading books. However, let me, as usual, tell you some of the interesting things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I popped into a second-hand bookshop to browse around and managed to pick up a rare old volume printed in the Reformation period, you know, when all the S's were F's. And it's great fun reading sentences like, "It was a warm, funny morning on Saturday." And Mr. Smith, fat in the fade of a sycamore tree. Oh, it's a wonderful book. Absolutely fascinating. But of course, they specialize in unusual books. Another treasured volume of mine is a book specially bound in flypaper. It's marvelous. It's one of those books, once you pick it up, you just can't put it down. On Thursday, I did something I hadn't done for a long time. And then on Friday... Well, now, let me tell you this first. I've often noticed Terry Thomas riding in Rotten Row. In fact, I think that's how the place got its name. Anyway, I decided to make an appointment at the local stables and arranged for a riding lesson. Good morning. Are these the stables?
Unless this old nose of mine deceives me, yes. Welcome, sir. Welcome to Arthur Figley's I-Class Riding Academy. Just have a butcher's at some of these completely solicited testimonials. This one here says...
Thanks for helping me to get on, Lester.
Lester Piggott?
No, Lester Ferguson. Here's one I'm very proud of from the one and only Doug Smith.
That is the end of the news.
Oh, yes, there's no doubt about it. You may not like riding at the outset, but believe me, it'll get you in the end.
Yes, I'm sure it will. Well, Figley, I'm ready.
But, Mr. O'Wiener, you dress up like that.
Well, you told me I should wear a red coat.
I didn't say nothing about a white beard and a sack of toys. Over.
Oh, I see. Well, anyway, you must admit my breeches are pretty well cut.
Yeah, so was the tailor that made them. Well, never mind, you look quite the anti-noon. Darling, what do you have in mind?
Well, I should be grateful if you could fix me up with some quiet little filly that won't give me too much trouble.
Yes, well, ring this number and ask... Oh, you mean horse, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, there's all sorts here. I got a couple of good old chestnuts.
Yes, you've cracked some of them already, haven't
you? What about that little pony over there?
Oh, what an extraordinary animal. I've never seen a tail like that.
Ah, well, we give him the pony tail a bouffant.
Look, Figley, haven't you got a horse that would really suit me?
Of course! Piebald! Hold on. Gnome!
Hello!
Bring out Thunderbird, will you? A gnome.
I know.
Get Grace to help you. I don't want you carrying that big animal on your own. Yeah, I take good care of my stable boys, you know. £2 a week and all the chaff they want.
And do the horses get plenty of corn?
Oh, yes. They listen to your show every week. Now, here's Norm with Thunderbird. Here he is.
Mr. Figley.
I don't know him. Prop him up against the wall. There you are, Mr. Orne, a lovely beast. Now, we better find out how much you've got to learn. Yes, let's see your mount.
Right. There. How's that?
That's very nice. Now, get down off Norm and try on the old. Now then. Careful. Don't go round the front. He goes crazy when he sees Spurs.
Probably a Chelsea supporter.
I'm pretending I didn't hear that. Right, now put one foot in the stirrup and...
Right. Like this?
Well, that's got your foot in the stirrup. Noam, give him a shove.
At last I'm up. How do I look?
Well, you're no Lady Godiva. Still old tight. Now, just take this riding whip.
It's a bit tatty, Figley.
Yes, it's a poor crop this year. Now. Here we go. A little flick across the blunt end, and off you go. Norman. Let this be a lesson to us. It must never happen again.
No, Mr. Figley.
Let us all remember one thing as regards new pupils.
What's that, sir?
In future, they pay in advance.
Whoa there, boy. Whoa, steady. Oh, dear, we're halfway down Oxford Street. Perhaps he's making for the Haymarket. Whoa! Oh, good heavens, he's turning down Bond Street. I hope no one at the BBC sees me.
Well, what have we got here? Oi, Mr. Hall! Don't look now, but somebody's pinched your milk cart.
Help! I can't stop. Do something.
All right. Hang on. I shan't be a minute.
Oh, dear. Where's he gone to? Whoa, boy. Whoa. Oh, he's stopped. Thank goodness.
All right, Mr. Hall?
Yes, thanks to you, Commissioner. However, did you make the horse stop?
Easy, sir. I put 10 bob on it to win.
Well, give me a hand down, will you?
Come on, Mr. Hall, quick, inside.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Don't worry about your horse, Mr. Horn. I'll see it's fed and watered.
Well. It's Janet fed and watered. Can I ask Janet? By the way, where are you off to?
Well, I'm just going to the pictures, Ken.
What are you
going to
see?
Well, it's a life story of Franz Liszt. Song Without End. Have you seen it?
Well, no, but I've seen the one about that other famous composer, Hans Liszt. And judging by your perplexed look, you haven't. So take a seat, Janet, and the whole nauseating story will be unfolded.
Song that should never have begun.
It all started when I, Fritz Sauerkraut, educated in England to sound remarkably like Kenneth Horn, was walking down a shabby street in Budapest when I suddenly heard the sound of a piano coming from an attic window. Well, it wasn't what I expected to hear at all, but then the BBC didn't have the sound effect of a piano coming from an attic window. I made my way up to the attic and opened the door.
Ah!
Wrong attic. Then I opened the door opposite. A pathetic figure sat at the piano. Look, I'm sorry to intrude. Isn't that a bit of Scherzo?
No, she lives opposite. But, what do you want?
Well, I was attracted by your music, sir. Who are you?
My name is Hans Liszt.
And what was that you were playing, Mr. Liszt?
A piano. I am a penniless composer, sir.
You mean that that was your own composition?
Yes, it is some of the music that was inspired by my beautiful country.
Hungry?
I'm starving. You know what it is like. You know what it is like to starve during the past few months. All I have eaten are the works of Beethoven and Bach.
Good gracious.
Oh, if only my talents could be recognized. I know I have great music inside of me.
It takes time, Hans, but I will help you. I will arrange piano recitals for you all over the world. You'll be the Semprini of Hungary. Come.
Hans Liszt worked hard for success. He played Night and Day and other well-known songs. Before long, he'd become the rage of Europe. Never again would he be hungry or cold. Wherever he went, he was toasted. To Hans Liszt!
To Hans!
Ah, oh, thou, my dear Frederick. Fritz, I don't believe you have met my friend, Chopin.
Well, how do you do?
Look, I also want you to meet my niece.
Hello, Mr. Chopin.
Ah, so you are Hans' niece. Where's Boomsa Daisy?
Oh, ignore him. He might go away.
Tell me, Hans, what is the name of that latest piece of yours?
Bertha.
So naughty. I'm afraid it isn't only in music that he has gained a reputation.
No. Let's see, Hans. So far, in alphabetical order, there has been Anna, Bertha, Colette, Daniel, Eva, Francois, Gertha, and Harriet.
Yes, he's up to the eyes in women. Sometimes I think the love of a woman is as great as your love of music.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I must be going.
Oh, must you go so soon?
Yes, I really only popped in for that joke about Hans Niece and Booms a Day. Good day, gentlemen.
Hans, I have some wonderful news for you. You have been commanded to appear before the Tsar.
I won't go.
But if I tell you the request was made by his daughter, the rich and beautiful Princess Irena.
When can we leave?
Oh, that is more like it, Hans. Remember, it is a great honor.
And besides, the fee will be several thousand rubles.
I don't want the money. Give it to charity.
Is she another one, Hans?
Yes, poor girl. Her life is empty without me. Since I left her, she's been tired, irritable, and listless.
Hans, I think you better go and practice. You don't want to disappoint the Princess Irena.
No. What's more, I shall compose special music for her. Overtures in A flat.
The concert before the Tsar was an overwhelming success. Hans Liszt played as he had never played before, in tune.
Yes, I was really swinging tonight. Did you see old Wagner? He was livid with jealousy.
Yes, you soon wiped that silly learned grin off his face.
Him and his cheap sixpenny change store opera.
Which one's that?
Tannhauser. Well, Fritz, I must go. The Princess Irena has sent for me.
Come in, Hans. You played beautifully tonight.
I was playing just for you. Princess, I have fallen under your spell.
Oh, don't say that. We must be careful, Hans. Remember, my father is the Tsar. He is the little father of all the Russians.
The little devil.
And my mother already suspects that you are here. Shh. Listen. She's at the door now. Quick, quick, into the wardrobe. Come in, Mother. Look, Mommy, no hands. All right, Hans. She has gone.
Oh, Princess Irena, let me take you away from all this.
But I've got everything.
Then let me take all this away from you.
No, no, Hans. Our love can never be.
Shh! Here comes my husband.
His Royal Highness, Prince Rudolf!
Hello. Here. Well, what's going on here?
Rudolf! You are the Princess Irena's husband?
Well, I'm certainly not the red-nosed reindeer.
The truth, Prince Rudolf, is that I think the Princess Irena is the most beautiful woman I have ever seen.
No, stop messing about. Is that money you're after? Watch it, dear. He's got his eye on your rubles.
Hans, you better go.
Very well. Henceforth, I shall dedicate my life to music, and every time I play, I shall be inspired by the memory of your grace, beauty, and charm.
Oh, well, thank you. It's ever so nice. It's very good of you to say so.
Not you!
Oh.
Prince Twit. Goodbye, Irena.
Now come along, Hans. A lifetime of music lies ahead of you.
Yes, Fritz. In future...
Excuse me, Mr. Liszt. I am a struggling composer. My name is Dvořák. Please help me to become as successful as you. I know my music...
Go away. Don't pester me. Oh,
but you must help
me. Why should I? All that matters is that I am rich and famous.
So that's your attitude?
Yes. Never mind you, Dvořák. I'm all right.
Now I hear a buzz of activity over there in the corner, which tells us it's time once more for the Hornets.
There's a food store on our street. It's run by a Greek, and he keeps good things to eat, but you should hear him speak. When you ask him anything, never answers no. He just yeses you to death. As he takes your dough, he tells you, yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today.
We brought beans like bunions, kvotches and onions and bah. All kinds of fruit.
And say, we have an old-fashioned tomato, a nice big Jersey potato. We have no bananas. quartet all answered yes. We have no bananas. We have no bananas today. We brought beans like bunions, cabbages and onions, and all kinds of fruit and say we have an old-fashioned tomato, a nice big Jersey potato. But yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today. We brought beans like bunions, cabbages and onions. But yes, we have no bananas today.
And so to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present a close-up on old British customs.
Leaving out the best known one, which is probably... Now, here's a gentleman in a three-cornered hat and with a bell in his hand. What's your job, sir?
I am the town crier of Snettisham.
And what is your job involved?
Well, whenever there's a civil ceremony, I have to summon the citizens of Snettisham.
Now, could you give us one of your typical town criers right now?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes! Hear ye, citizens of Snettisham. Ye are hereby summoned to the city square to assist in the selection of suitable candidates for the election of Miss Snettisham of 1966.
Well, that's splendid. By the way, where is Snettisham?
On the south side of the Wash.
And that's where I've been standing. Well, now, here's another gentleman. Excuse me, sir. I'm getting public reactions on old English customs. Now, what do you think, for instance, of things like Morris dancing?
I reckon all these old-fashioned country dancing larks are a bit soppy. I mean, all these geezers hopping around, dressed in skirts and things. It's not natural. A bit sissy, I call it.
I see. What's your job, by the way?
I'm a lady's hairdresser.
Well, he's a cut above some of them, isn't he? Now, here's a lady. Madam, we're talking about old British customs. Have you got any favourite custom? Yes, I mean, apart from maypole dancing.
You see, there's one institution that I adore.
The pancake race?
No. Older than that.
Older? Older, eh? Piping in the haggis?
No. Much older than that.
Well, tell me.
Kenneth Horne in Beyond Our Ken.
Well, to get the real country viewpoint on unusual customs, I went down to Cornwall to a little village called Osiris and Pancras. And I went into the local pub, and there I came across the oldest inhabitants. Good morning to you, sir. What a remarkable old gentleman.
Oh, it's a bit further on, I think.
No. Now, sir, this village has been the birthplace of quite a few Cornish customs. Which is the most famous?
Without a doubt, the old ottery contest of snatching the dumpling.
I see. And what does the winner get?
The smack in the face.
And I bet you've had a few snatches in your time.
Aye, was that? Aye.
Snatches, I said you've had a few.
Just a small beer, that's all.
You seem to be rather hard of hearing.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch you, but...
I said you find it difficult to hear.
No more beer, no. You know, we had wonderful dumpling snatch last year.
Did you? Tell me about it.
Oh, it was marvellous. There we all were, waiting to snatch
the
dumpling.
We were going. Well, now, sir, if I can interrupt you there.
What?
This recording is going to be heard by millions of people.
Oh, that's
as a very
nice.
Fine, upstanding old gentleman
yes,
of 94.
Thank you.
Is there some message that you'd like me to listen to?
Yes, there is. Thank you very much.
Good. Now, what's it going to be?
Another pint, please.
You know, you said you certainly can put the beer away.
Oh, yes.
What would you say was your capacity?
You really want to know?
Yes, I do.
No, well, I'll tell you.
Yes?
35 beers.
Thank you, sir, yes. One of the favorite British pastimes is being a spectator on very special occasions. People will often arrive hours before to ensure a good vantage place. And when the great moment arrives, who knows, you may find yourself jammed in a crowd right next to a close friend.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles.
It's a crowd, I say. Isn't it exciting?
Rather, the climax of a wonderful day.
Look at all those rows there.
She'll be coming out any minute now.
Just a minute. Here she comes.
Oh, doesn't she look beautiful?
Such grace, such poise.
She holds herself so majestic.
Oh, dear. She obviously knows it's her day.
Oh, look, she's bowing to the crowd.
You know what, Rodney?
Why, Charles?
I think she'll be even better show jumper than Fox Hunter.
Oh, how fabulous.
Another old country custom is called beating the bounce. Well, now you kids cheer up. Now, what are your names?
I'm Kenneth Bounce.
And I'm Bill Bounce.
Well, it was quick, wasn't it? Now, many of the older country folk still compete for coveted prizes in various parts of the country. Two such old people are Ambrose and Felicity Perkins.
Ambrose.
Oh, yes, Felicity.
I feel sure they choose us.
Yes,
and I did feel proud carrying the prize home today, my darling.
All the fuss you made, anyone would have thought it weighed a ton. Moan, 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 all the way home.
Yes,
moaning about
my
your
darling,
prize.
It was heavy.
Well, you should
boy.
Have got some other silly old faggot to carry.
Please, Ambrose. I won't have you imply that I'm a silly old faggot.
You are a silly old faggot.
I've always thought so, and I always will. And I repeat, my love, I was very proud of us.
All you did was moan, didn't you?
I can't help it.
The sooner we get rid of it, the better.
Shut your cake hole
and take your flipping flitch back to Dunmo. Silly old boiler.
There you are. There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be contemporary art. Is it as bad as it's painted? Also in next week's program, a well-known asparagus grower will be giving us a few tips. We shall be doing a takeoff of a striptease show. And some of the best fathers in the country will be interviewed by David Jacobs in a new feature called Pick of the Pops. So, until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener. If you insulted a National Hunt jockey, would he take offense? Good night.
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show. Under contract was Kenneth Horne. Under pressure were Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Janet Waters, and the Hornets. Under the influence of Paul Fennelly were the BBC Variety Orchestra. Under fire, scriptwriter Eric Veneman. And under observation, our producer, Jake Spratt.